Welcome to episode 2 of Accept the Mystery, when Jackie and I discuss the Coen's second movie starring Nicolas Cage and Holly Hunter, Raising Arizona. JFIO presents.
What? Are you kidding? We got some family here.
This ain't no coon, huh?
Okay, I'm not gonna sit here and debate.
I'll show you the life of a man!
You will find a fortune. Good would not be the fortune you seek.
I suppose you think you raised hell.
When I've raised hell, you'll know it.
Something is very wrong. I don't want Santana Abraxas. I've just been in a terrible auto accident.
What's the most you ever lost in the coin toss?
Sometimes knowledge is yours.
Accept the Mystery, a Coen Brothers podcast.
Welcome back to Accept the Mystery, the show where Jackie and I go through the entire Coen Brothers filmography in painful, excruciating, line-by-line, unnecessary detail. Probably not that unnecessary.
Very
that's part
necessary,
of the fun.
I was going to say.
And we also play games and stuff. Are you happy we watched a less violent movie this time around?
Really happy. It was so sweet.
You didn't have to...
I didn't have to close my eyes every 2 seconds.
Right, you didn't have to cover your eyes for the scary parts.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm a baby.
This is going to... Maybe it's just my my sadistic side. This is going to be so much fun going through some of these movies.
Well,
because there's more violence coming.
Oh my God, Allie's nodding. Mm-hmm. She's so excited for me being upset. Great, guys.
It's going to get worse.
We've already heard my co-host, the inimitable Jackie Lechtold, say.
Oh.
And now I should introduce my guest, who you just heard.
Our guest. Not
our guest.
Guest.
Sorry.
Our guest. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's a guest in my home, so I think of her as my guest.
Mm-hmm.
That be our guest.
Like a guest of the world. Whatever you want.
Our guest today, a stand-up comic, an improviser, a general force of nature. Please welcome Allie Zisfine to the show.
Woo. Oh, hello. Thank you so much. Is this fine?
I know. Oh,
I know. The one thing you didn't practice.
He didn't announce my name.
I got your name, but I didn't get yours.
I know. You know what? It's going to be all right. I'm just going to win this whole podcast.
Can we do that? Allie Zisfine, welcome to the show. Did I say it wrong again?
No, that was right.
That's
totally right. Totally did it right. Oh, that was good. That was really good.
Good.
No one's ever said it that well.
Yeah. Allie Zisfine.
There you go. That was it.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. This movie put me in like the best mood.
Have you tried our licorice?
We discussed this.
We didn't have it for the pilot episode, but we discussed before we ever recorded an episode because of our shared love of black licorice that we should just
it
have
means
black.
Me, not Allie, but yeah.
Yeah, no,
yes.
Not me.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Jackie while I'm saying that.
Which you all can see, right?
Yeah.
They can see what's going on. Is that how this works?
Shut up. They can figure it out from context clues. Because of our shared love of black licorice, we were like, we should have this out as a refreshment for
That's
people
right.
so that we can eat it and everybody else is going to be disgusted. Because apparently people
it.
Find this disgusting. I don't understand
weird,
it.
Because black licorice is delicious.
That's
and also,
great.
This is like gourmet black
licorice.
It's not like black jelly.
Yeah, juice. No, it's like that that Aussie licorice.
This literally looks like it's like a part of a microphone or a fan or something that broke off your IKEA table.
First, it looks like an IKEA sculpture.
Oh. Because they put black licorice in a black bowl and it does kind of look like, like a art piece. You don't like this at all.
He did not put something to spit into, though, however. Oh, my God.
Just chew
this
it.
This is not a licorice tasting. This is a licorice eating.
You don't get to spit. You have to swallow. I didn't even mean it like
Holding
that.
Holding my commentary.
I'm not. Rarely spitting, but this is a different situation, people.
My girl.
Rank.
All right. Well, okay.
It's all good.
Just put it
somewhere. I'm going to swallow it.
No, seriously.
Swallow it. I think this is delicious.
I think it is too, but I feel like people are going to hear me chewing the whole time. I'll just try to turn away.
No. I'm going to chew into the mic.
So good.
Oh, God. Never eat black licorice. Oh, my God. It's so bad.
Good. More for us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to our... Just put it
I'm just asking.
I'll throw it out later.
Okay.
If you really can't eat an entire piece of licorice.
I'm going to diet. Give me a break.
Let's get to know our guest a little bit with our first feature, Inside Allie Zisfine.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Oh no!
This is the section where we ask you questions inspired by the movie to get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, I'm very excited.
So, today we watched the movie Raising Arizona, Allie.
We did.
And in Raising Arizona, Nick Cage plays H.I. McDonough, a petty thief gone straight. Have you ever stolen, robbed, or shoplifted before?
Not as far as I'm concerned. The furthest...
She's nervous because she's looking at me and I'm a lawyer.
No, my mom's a lawyer
she's
too.
Gonna sell you
no,
out.
My mom's a lawyer. She knows what... I think she knows. I don't know. She doesn't give the best legal... Don't... Doesn't matter. No.
But you saying as far as I know, well, makes you think that you don't feel like you committed anything.
There's one story that comes to mind. I was in the grocery store with my dad, and I took like one of those bulk candy. It was like a chocolate thing filled with a pretzel and peanut butter and shit. It was freaking delicious.
Okay.
I took one. I sampled it, and I have the whole thing in my mouth. And he goes, "Did you just steal that?"
What?
And I was like, oh, meanwhile, it's like falling out of my mouth now in the middle of like Whole Foods. I was like, oh, what? My parents' standards are a little weird about stealing.
Okay, but before you left Whole Foods, did you pay for it?
The part that I'd already eaten?
The part that you ate.
No, I don't know how much that would have weighed.
It's like the stuff that you got to weigh.
Oh my god, yeah, it was like one thing. I was like taste testing. Okay. It was like poison, and I was making sure it wasn't poisonous.
I get it. It's like it's in those bins that you have to scoop into a bag.
It's fair game. Everybody does, except for my dad, apparently, who is holier than thou. Oh yeah.
Mm. See, I've never done that. I don't think that's fair game. But you're stealing from Whole Foods.
Oh yeah, because they're not stealing from you. Have you bought the peanut butter from there, please?
I recognize they jack up the prices.
Yeah.
I basically feel like you, until you leave a store, you can eat stuff as long as you keep the wrapper and pay for it.
Unless it's not in a wrapper, which makes it fair game. Boom. One.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't mean
two
it.
Two against
I
one.
I do feel like I got defeated in that argument.
It's like damn. It boom.
Case dismissed.
I possibly...
Oh. That's going to be my new tagline.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that as the lawyer. Isn't that the judge's
thing? I do like the idea of you introducing...
I do still like
I'm going to be Judge Jackie on this show.
Oh, my God.
I graduated to judge.
You should always be Judge Jackie.
Thank
you. Wear a black robe everywhere, judging people.
What if I just wore it for this show, though?
Oh.
The podcast.
Oh, then you probably should, get a video camera, too. But whatever. I don't know how podcasts work, so...
I definitely do like the idea of you introducing a catchphrase of some kind to the show. I think that's great.
It is probably
going to
be case dismissed.
And then something about licorice.
Yeah.
Being delicious.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel I must just be too much of a goody two-shoes. Like,
that's so surprising. I feel like kind of
like
a badass.
Like,
my one memory of almost stealing something is there was like a food truck that would at our high school, that you could order food from. One time I ordered some like rice pilaf thing. And
I thought it was like an ice cream truck. It was
no.
Gross.
No. It's like a food truck. It was like a I went to a Jewish school. It was a kosher food truck.
Oh my god! That was like everything I ever want more.
That was like what we had instead of a cafeteria.
Whoa. Do you have that guy's number? Because is he single? That's amazing.
You want to get to know the food truck guy?
The kosher food truck guy?
The kosher food truck guy.
Yeah.
He's just like some like sweaty old swarthy dude.
What? Who isn't? I don't know. This is LA. Like everyone is.
Anyhow, one time I got this rice pilaf thing and I kind of just, there was a log line to pay for it. So I kind of just walked away. But before I even ate any, I felt really bad about it. And I felt like I was accumulating bad karma.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember like telling
Jewish
myself,
guilt.
Do you want to cross this line? If you cross this line, you're never going to
go back. I love that. I love that.
And then I went back and paid the guy.
Oh my God. That's great. I like that though. You're like, you know what? This is going to come back and get me twice as bad. It was going to give you food poisoning or something. Like
yeah,
that
exactly. Yeah. Like this is going to work out badly for me in the long run. I don't want to get negative points on my rap sheet.
With the Holy One or something.
With whatever.
Say
whatever the Jewish equivalent of St. Peter is.
Oh,
I don't know.
Don't look at me like I know. I just know the food truck thing. That's all I got. Yeah.
St. Petersburg.
Oh, but he'll be here all night, folks.
I could barely get that. That
does
so
well. Sorry, I've always. That's what I meant to do. Yeah. I just went. That's not the right sound.
In the film Raising Arizona, Allie.
Yes.
Holly Hunter, meanwhile, plays a cop named Ed who falls for a criminal.
Love that.
Are you attracted to bad boys? Have you ever dated anyone from quote unquote the wrong side of the tracks?
Ooh. No. Oh God, I know.
It's a legitimate answer.
I think no, yeah, but I don't know they're always like that beforehand. I don't know. Anyone who's ever had like a worse rap sheet than me? No.
But you've never just gone for like some straight up like.
No, but I've thought about. Oh, well, not that. But like I've never had like a rock star phase. Like I need one of those. I think. But I'm not saying they're like bad boys.
Yeah, rocks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they act like bad. Boys.
Yeah,
like literal criminals.
I'm talking about like real bad people.
Like guys who have gone to jail.
Like gangbangers and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know many gangbangers, believe it or not.
I'm in disbelief.
Yeah, I know. It is not believable how I'm offered. No, I don't even know how that works. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Oh, no. There was this guy I was seeing for a little while, and he, like, beat the shit out of this guy at a party. And then we all had to run away from the cops. And I was with him and was like,
kind
this
of criminal.
Is, yeah.
That is I was assault accomplice. And battery.
No, but it wasn't because they both would have gotten charged. So the charges were dropped. Been, you could use it. That.
I mean,
too.
It's yeah.
also dismissed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Wow, so much legal terminology.
I mean, I don't. You know, if you're beating up a guy and it was kind of in self defense, like the other guy made the first move, I consider that.
It wasn't in self defense. He was like, "I'm going to punch you in the face," and then the other guy then, fell into. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad news. It was bad news. I guess. No, I usually have a worse rap sheet than most. Guys,
I don't know.
I date, to be honest.
I don't think I've really dated any bad boys. Like that bad.
One or two. But we should get on Bad Boys. That was the movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
Sorry. All right. You both looked at me like, what?
Hey, that was better than St. Petersburg.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jesus. Much better. Yeah. I'm sure I have not seriously dated a bad boy. Although, maybe. I am in my rebellious phase right now. So.
You're in your rebellious phase now.
Mm-hmm. A little delayed.
Yeah, very.
I'm getting old.
But it's better. It's better to do it now because you have more control. Well,
that
no.
is true. It's controlled rebellion at this time.
But it's still like you could still do a lot of damage, which is great. And you still have a long enough life to live afterwards that you can repair it and be like, very whoa, true. Remember my 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever.
See,
however long you want to be.
I'm saving my rebellious face for like when I'm 70.
Oh, it's like my grandmother. It's so my grandma right now. She's 90 though, so it's different.
I kind of want to be like a grandpa who's like, you know, he drives like a hot rod, but he like shoots up heroin.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times you're
gonna.
Be
a badass old lady.
I don't feel like you're gonna be able to shoot up heroin too many times as an old dude, but.
But if you're like being old, that's the best time to start.
Or just die, because I feel like you do it once, and that's it.
I want to be like Iggy Azalea when I'm an old lady. Just like, so
ooh,
like...
Fancy.
Fancy?
A little bit fancy.
Are you saying fancy?
I want to be fancy. No,
we all know
kind of
one
like,
Iggy Azalea song. Yeah. Great.
Guys, the whole album is great. I keep talking about it. People need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. My little plug. But no, I would kind of like to be like that.
Sponsored
annoying.
By Nicki Azalea. Iggy Azalea.
Mickey?
What the? Oh, you know what that you was? That was a Freudian slip to Nicki Minaj.
They're
oh
kind
God.
Of they're kind of the same person.
No.
They kind of
all the BET Awards, no. They were all like, she did.
I like
Iggy.
I do not like Nicki. That's why
Nicki doesn't like Iggy is because she's stealing her shtick completely.
She's not. And I like her.
Did Nicki Minaj say shtick specifically? She might have.
Did she really?
That would mean she is way too immersed and has completely lost all authenticity.
I don't think she actually said shtick.
I hope she does one day. She's like, oh, that's my shtick. And then you're like, ooh.
But I'm saying they sound like they're doing similar things to me.
They do. And they kind of like remind. No.
Guys, no. But we don't have to talk about that now. We can just move on.
Okay.
Wait for the
case dismissed. Iggy Azalea is the best.
Moving on. It's true.
At a couple points in this film, H.I. has dreams that seems to predict the future. Have you ever had a dream that's come true, and or do you think you have any psychic abilities?
Oh, God. Have I ever had a dream that came true? My dreams are weird, so No, I don't think I've ever like,
not like a full-on prophetic dream where something is happening. Like, oh my God, I dreamed.
No, I wasn't
this
like
happened.
Joseph in the Technicolor. Follow right. Joseph, you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It was like, No, I think if I had any skills, my only like skills that I think are even like a little bit like, ooh, maybe there's something there is like that I can name B-list actors and what other B-list movies and TV shows they've been in. That's
very
it.
Very clever.
So it's not... Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, I'm like not Long Island psychic over here.
Aww. Who's like a B... Okay, who's a B-list actor?
Tell no, don't know. Oh, come on.
We have to test it if you have...
No, been. But only if I have like... I'm not in the zone. Oh,
do you need
man.
Do you need like a crystal ball and incense?
I think I need that Ouija board I left in my car.
I was just gonna
say. Yeah, that Ouija board would be really useful. I don't have one in my car, but I might. I have everything in my car. It's like a hoarding thing in there.
Because you're a female, so yeah, me too.
Also, you'd be... Okay. No, it's like real bad. It's like it looks like me and like four people I know or don't know maybe even live in my car. It's like real bad. It's getting really bad.
I understand.
It's okay. I'll get a car wash really soon because I'm getting that breathalyzer out of my car on Monday, so...
Holler!
Congratulations!
Yeah. And then I'm going to valet park everywhere and get the inside of my car wash and be like...
Oh, could you not valet car
wash? You can't do... Well, unless you want some man who is not going to pass the test anyway breathing into your car. He's going to be like, oh, I'm fucking wasted, sorry. I can't drive your car anyway. And that's it, so...
Do you just... I wonder how valet guys get wasted.
Well, I couldn't find out for you. I couldn't even. Because like, I don't want their mouths. I don't know.
I mean, because they do have to drive all the time, but they don't have to drive very far.
No, but like, what if you don't? You just don't know. Don't drink and drive. Plug in the night. Case dismissed.
If you crash
a car. Oh, hey.
Shout out to Jackie and Iggy.
If you crash a car.
On my trademark phrase.
No,
but that's
no,
okay.
No. Just reinforcing
I'm going to license it to you. I have a question.
Okay.
Because it's about you. And this was like what I thought of when I was watching the movie. You know, like the kids that come over and visit. Are they Glenn's?
Glenn's kid. Yeah. Yes.
They were like the worst kids ever.
Which okay, good. That's really actually missed. Actually like related to my question.
Oh, great. Yeah. So I was just wondering if you were a terror as a kid or were you like a good kid?
Oh, no. I'm an only child, so I mean, my parents had very little points of reference, very few points of reference. But like, a few times, I locked the. Like, there was one time when I was like three. And we lived in the city, New York City, and my dad went outside to get the mail or something, and I just closed the door and locked him out, and I was alone in the. But I think a lot of times, like my parents did stuff to me, like and didn't like we both like I used to run around the house a bunch, and one time, like my mom opened the drawer. In the kitchen,
so run into
and it. I just not on purpose, and I just slammed my head into it so hard, which I know makes a lot of sense. Yeah, like a lot of that shit happened a lot, so it wasn't like I was a terror, but I wasn't.
You guys were pranking each other a lot.
Yeah, and I was the victim of a lot of pranks from my parents. So that's
okay. Yeah, no, then your parents were the
and
terror.
Now they're the victims.
Yeah, no, pranks. I'm still suffering. No, yeah, aww. It depends on the day. They mean well.
I was a terrorist as a child.
Oh, God.
So I got started early.
Oh, you are? Oh, my God. He's a reformed terrorist right here, right now.
I mean, no plans that ever came to fruition, but yeah. Oh, no, parents found, like, you know, bomb-making materials.
Oh, God.
Luckily, they
like stink bomb.
None of this is true, by the
good.
Way.
Good. Oh, yeah, God. You gotta preface that a little. Proof.
Remember, I was a goody two shoes. No.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. I was all just like.
Okay.
No, I thought you meant terrorists. Like you were just terrorizing everybody.
Oh, that's what I meant.
I didn't think.
Oh,
like,
I wasn't like
bombs.
No,
like, you were trying to blow.
I wasn't.
Up.
No, no.
I just want to say for the record that I was a really good kid.
Oh. Were you? Yeah. Were you?
Oh,
you can ask.
For some reason, I find it hard to believe.
I know it is hard to believe. That's because I'm secretly good and nobody notices like the bad part. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hard to explain.
Okay. Live fast, die young. Bad girls do it well. Is that what you're trying to say? Sorry.
No, I just mean like.
I'm sorry. That song is stuck in my head right now, so I just want to say that. That's such a great song.
Does your chain hit the dash when you're?
Oh my God! Thank God. I'm glad
my chain
you picked
my chest
yes, when
I'm
riding
it
on
the
dashboard.
Yeah. Wait. Oh my God! We do such a better rendition. Wow. Remix.
Remix.
Oh God!
Can you splice that song in when you edit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will.
Great.
Oh
thank
God.
You.
Chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the dashboard. My chain
hits my chest when I'm banging on the radio. No joke though. There was like a book sale in my elementary school. I think I was in fourth grade and I was walking around like this used book sale and I saw a book called "Steal This Book" by Abbie Hoffman. Do you know what this book is?
No, but
I'd love like that.
Wait.
Yeah, Abbie Hoffman was he was like a hippie. During the, you know, during the sexual revolution, but he was like a super militant hippie who believed, you know, all, you know, there should be like no money, super crazy ideas.
Right.
I didn't steal it just because, even though the title.
Because you don't steal anything.
Because
we
I don't
know.
Steal anything. So I bought it for like $3. But then I read it out of curiosity and there were like bomb making instructions inside.
What?
There was like how to build a pipe bomb, how
way
to build
to
a Molotov cocktail.
End, Josh.
Oh no, that was like, spoiler that was like early in the book. It wasn't a novel. It was like a how to guide to be like a domestic terrorist. That was the book I bought at my elementary school bookstore.
Why did they have it there?
I don't know.
That's
they,
my question.
That should not have been available to children.
You know what? That's not on you. That's not on you. An attempting title, you know what? That's on your elementary school.
And you know,
school.
This was technically like pre-Columbine, but it wasn't long before Columbine.
Right. Well, maybe they stopped selling that book directly afterwards.
Probably.
Hopefully.
Probably.
We should check that out. Fact check. We'll get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
So yeah, my question was actually based on the same scene where it seems like the Coens have kind of a bleak view of children and child rearing, at least based on that scene. What is your overall opinion of children? Do you like them? Do you get along with them? Do you not get along with them?
Oh God, all children?
Just children in general.
If they're other people's, sure. Other people's kids, if they don't have to come home with me, that's great. If they have someone else.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not necessarily.
That's the kind of kid I like. I like the other people's kids who's like, oh, it's starting to cry, it's yours. Oh, it just took a dump, it's yours.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't ever want to really like see this when it's not cute, it's yours.
I'm not like asking if you want to have children.
No,
I'm more
God,
asking.
God, I didn't think. Yeah. I didn't think that was what this podcast was about. Mommy and Me podcast? All right. Yeah. That's a nice segment for you.
Yeah, we could. That could be a new spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
Let's get into parenting issues on NPR.
Yes, you are good at that.
Yeah, I gotta pull out my NPR voice every so often.
I love that. I love that. No, I think, I don't know, I was a camp counselor for 4-year-olds at one point, and I got that shit kicked out of me by those kids. So it was like bitten and kids are horrors. So like horrors, not whores. I don't know. I don't. I mean,
God, kids are whores.
Such
you know?
Freaking sluts. You can't. I gotta stop hoeing themselves. Yeah, those are the kids I know.
I feel like some people just like do not get along with kids. I think it's hard because kids are crazy.
But there's some who get along with them so well.
I think I get along with kids well. I think kids like me.
I think I could see that.
I have like a childlike spirit and they recognize.
This is something else we have in common. And I like counting, like, kids like me, too. And I like kids, so we like black licorice. We like kids. There's a reason we're co-hosts.
Whoa, do you like black kids? Because I love black
yes.
kids. That is a true story. I do. Oh, my God, I do. I'm sorry.
Do you like black kids more than white kids?
Not, like, racist like that, but, like, yeah, probably. I probably think I do.
What's the worst race of children?
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm getting into a trick question here, but let's just try it out.
Let's see where this goes.
How can I go wrong, right? Oh, my God, no.
Well, no, I think it's time for the question time to end. Oh. I think it's time for the review time to begin in a segment we call the Big Review Ski. Let's dive into this movie we all watched called Raising Arizona, released in 1987.
When I was born. Sorry.
A year after I was born. I was one. I was like as old, maybe a little older than Nathan Jr. was in this movie.
I wasn't
in this
even
movie.
Alive. Sorry, guys.
We forgive you.
Thanks. I didn't have anything to do with it.
That's okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Thanks.
I don't blame you.
Me either. I wasn't like, guys, have sex more to my parents. You know? I wasn't like that.
I absolutely love this movie. I'll just say that right off the bat. This is probably the Coen Brothers movie I've watched the most, with the exception of The Big Lebowski. That's the Coen Brothers movie I've watched for sure the most amount of times. This would be the second most. If I just feel like I have a couple hours to go, I don't know what movie I'm going to watch. I put on Raising Arizona a lot. Aww. I've seen this movie a lot of times.
That's so cute.
Wait, Josh.
You know he loves babies.
Oh, yeah. Josh is so cute. He's raising so many Arizona.
Do not. Oh, God. Do not do like... Do not make me cute. I'm not cute.
He's not cute.
I'm a
don't
bad,
worry.
I'm a
He's
bad boy.
He's manly and appealing.
He's tatted all over the left side of his face. He's Hello Kitty all over the left
Yeah, you guys
side.
Can't tell if you've only listened to my voice on podcasts. But yeah, I've got like massive face tattoos.
Massive face tattoos. Just tears.
Yeah.
Know what that means.
But no, before even getting into, you know, there's a lot to unpack in this movie.
Yeah.
Before we even get into any of like the thematic stuff or the cool little like recurring motifs.
Yeah.
Just on a surface level, this is such a fun movie. There's just so much, there's always so much just going on, and there's slapstick, and there's moments that feel like Three Stooges, where there's just like, you know, people are getting punched in a lot of scenes, and there's like pratfalls, and people running into poles, and it is
like Nicolas Cage's face, and
Nicolas Cage's, Nicolas Cage is constantly, he's like pulling like Jerry Lewis faces, and he's got like weird little smirks, or he'll bug his eyes out, he's
like a doofus.
Yeah.
He's like a cartoon character.
But like,
character.
You don't, the one thing I get loved about it was that even when he was getting the shit kicked out of him, he was like, and it was all, and you felt like, oh God, like you're frustrated that they get in these horrible situations. Like the conflict didn't last so long. It was resolved within a proper amount of period of time that my anxiety did not go insane. Like every time I was like, no, why would you do that? Oh my God, no. Oh, how could you?
Do but movies where the conflict is drawn out get
sometimes, like, you know what I mean when you're like, no, and it gets
like
so frustrating.
Like when you watch Curb. That's why I can't watch Curb.
Okay, well,
I'm just saying, I like it.
I know what you mean.
But I'm saying I can't watch it to relax. That's
right.
All I mean.
Yes,
so like,
it
if
puts
I watch
you on
it,
edge.
It doesn't make me happy. It makes me completely anxious the whole time because I'm like, please don't do
that's
this.
How I,
and it's funny, but you know.
Because whenever there's a moment where Larry David is about to walk away from the situation, then he turns around and he's like, wait a second.
And you're like, no, Justin. And you're like, live your life. Don't let that happen. And the conflict was resolved. Each conflict I felt like was resolved with enough, like in a short enough period of time, that I was like, "Oh, all right, I can take another breath." And then it's like, "Oh, another whole shtick went on."
Yeah, no, it really does. It moves from set piece to set piece. Barry Sonnenfeld, the cinematographer for this and Blood Simple and their next movie, he related anecdote that when he was filming this movie, the Coens, you know, that whenever they'd film a take and then they'd look and review the footage, they would constantly be asking, "Is this wacky enough? And can we make it wackier?"
Honestly, I felt that, I don't know, my like end result of the movie was like everything that you wanted to happen, like the audience wanted to happen for the characters did happen, which is weird because it was that wacky, but at the end, it was like still kind of humane.
No, it's a satisfying movie. Yeah, it wraps up and it wraps up nicely.
Like,
even though it's crazy wacky.
Because it's, you know, in that those ways, it's, you know, like a traditional comedy in the Aristotelian sense. If I'm gonna get really hoity-toity here.
Oh, the Aristotelian sense, but of course.
You know, a play like Midsummer Night's Dream, where it's there's all sorts of incidents and wacky side business, but at the end, everybody's happy.
Way to ruin the end. No, I'm just kidding. If you haven't read that, then it's kind of on you.
Yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert for a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right? Oh, man, that's getting dropped real soon. Debut album, Midsummer Night's Dream. Just kidding.
But in a sense, it's weird how satisfying it is because, you know, because Hi and Ed don't end up with a kid. And because at the end of the movie, they've essentially said, we're going to split up.
And we don't know how it's resolved.
Yeah, and you know, and Nathan Arizona is all like, well, why don't you sleep on it? And the last thing we see is a dream sequence.
Right.
And we don't know if that dream sequence is actually prophetic or not.
But it
was
a sweet one.
But and I kind of feel like because his other dreams had sort of come true, or at least like they had become realities, even though they weren't what he expected them to be.
Right.
It kind of made you feel like, all right, it's going to be okay. Those two old people are going to be them, and they're going to have a bunch of kids.
No, well, yeah, you see that first dream he has where he sees the biker dude, and the biker dude shows up.
The mother's angst.
It sets you up at the very least to think, once you get to this second dream, even though we don't know for sure whether it's true, we really want to believe it's true.
And I do want to, I liked the fact that biker guy, whatever his name was, I don't know.
Leonard Smalls.
Oh, somebody did the research. Wow.
More research than
that's
that.
That's my co-host.
Lenny Small is the name of, that's Lenny from Of Mice and Men. That's his name.
Oh.
Randomly thrown in literary reference.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt like, I like the fact that he represented the mom's angst and how she would react when she found out Nathan Jr. was gone. Like dirty, would go to no... there was no limits to what she would do to get her baby back. And I was like, but then you don't see her the rest of the movie, which is kind of crazy, because then that's what he is. He is...
That's an interesting interpretation. You're saying that you're right. That's the last time we ever see their mom.
Yeah.
Mom disappears, but for the rest of the movie, all we get is this biker.
Yeah.
This crazy biker who's maybe it's her id incarnate or something.
Well, says it, sort of. Yeah. He says it in the dream. He's like, he represented all the dirt, whatever it was. And I was like, and then at one point... Towards the end, when Nicolas Cage goes he says it to Ed. Sorry, I snapped at him. He says to Ed, he's like, you can see him too? I was like, oh my God, good. I'm glad you just said that because I wasn't sure if it was... So they address even those little things, is he real or not?
Mm-hmm.
There's other weird stuff going on. He and Nicolas Cage have the same tattoo.
Yeah, I wish something happened with that.
I didn't even... Ugh,
because that
got
tattoo
me.
Was this thing, Ed in the beginning was like, make sure you can see the tattoo.
Oh my God, you're
totally right.
I forgot about that.
Just like a lot of things in this movie, it's unclear what it means. It's unclear. The way I'd interpret it is maybe this is some part of Nicolas Cage's subconscious, where it's this is his feelings about parenthood made incarnate.
Is that
this is his fears he's gonna, fuck up or destroy this baby.
And one thing that I loved was when Ed is saying that, as an officer of the law, I was thinking, I really shouldn't have done this, blah, blah, blah. And she's in the cop uniform. And then Nicolas Cage goes, well, you resigned way before. And I was like, wait, you resigned and you're still wearing the cop uniform? What?
She did. You're right. She did put the cop uniform back on.
She was wearing it as he said, you resigned. And I was like,
when did he say that?
They're in the
Oh no, she totally resigned. And it's when she's driving to pick up the baby after John Goodman and the guy stole it. She says
she's wearing the uniform.
No, she was wearing the
uniform. And she says, I was sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And then he's like, well, honey, you resigned.
Yeah. And I was wait a minute. She resigned and she's an imposter, but I love that. And
it's interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, that she puts the uniform back on there.
And
it's
maybe that's her persona?
She's decided, she was a cop and then she turned into a crazy kidnapper.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of the movie, she's driving the action.
Oh,
the whole kidnapping thing is her idea.
But it's also crazy, but yeah.
It's just because I think the best part of the whole movie is everyone just wants something to love and someone to love. And I was and he was a freaking adorable baby. So everyone fell in love with him and their whole plans, everything changed the second they saw him.
My, you're getting to a point that's actually my favorite detail in this whole movie.
Oh, I'm excited.
Which I think is a clue to the Coen's real opinion on family and parenthood, which is kind of what this whole movie is riffing on. We never really know what the baby's name is. At first, they think it's Nathan Jr. And even Nathan Arizona, when he's says asked by the media, he says, "I think it was Nathan Jr. who they took."
Uh-huh. And nobody even cares.
Then so later, they decide to just call him Jr. Mm-hmm. But when they're when Glenn and Frances McDormand show up and ask what you're naming it, High says, "Oh, we're naming him Ed Jr." Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Ed says, "Oh, we're naming him High Jr." Mm-hmm. And then later, eventually, after John Goodman steals the baby, by the very end, and it's easy to miss, but he decides, "Oh, we don't want to give the gate baby up for the ransom money anymore. We're going to keep this baby. We're going to keep little Gale Jr."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they kept, oh God, no, they do.
I love how he
says, he keeps smiling
Jr.
at him. He's like, he's smiling at me. And I love, oh my God. When he asked the guy, I love it.
Right.
Sorry.
Like everybody who sees this baby falls in love with him and wants to like make it their own.
And they'll do anything for, want to make it their own. That's totally true. Yeah.
And it's almost like anybody who names their kid their name Jr. You're just seeing this as a reflection of yourself. Mm-hmm. This baby is just whatever you're throwing at this baby is just a reflection of yourself, and it's true for everybody who sees this baby in the movie.
Oh wow!
And I think that's kind of the Coen's point by doing that riff is that anybody who's raising a child is doing it essentially for kind of selfish reasons.
So when they give it up at the end, that's why
they have children.
But maybe that's why the original Nathan Arizona is kind of doesn't punish them at the end for bringing the baby back because it was so humane to not keep the baby. And to give it back is like the opposite of what human nature is because it's not selfish. It's selfless. And granted,
he does say that. He says, "You guys can't be all that bad if you're going to bring the baby back."
Yeah, there's got to be some good.
There's some good in you.
There's some good in you.
That's a question I want to pose to you guys. Do you think it was realistic that he would decide not to call the cops on these guys?
So unrealistic, and I have such a problem with unreality movies. But
I don't know, though. Only reason, and I feel like you'll agree, is like people will do anything to get their kids back. And at the end of the day, the people who took them... I'm not saying it's kosher or like you should return what you steal. It's great.
But he sure seemed awfully calm about it.
I think that...
he just seemed like...
I feel like it's drunk. Possible, depending on the person. It's just that for whatever reason, the way that character was built up, to me, it didn't seem realistic. That he, because he was like so... Like, remember, like, the cops and the FBI were in his place. He was, like, kind of, like, you know, he was real crazy about it, which is expected. Uh-huh. And I think that because he was, like, so emotional and kind of, like, belligerent about it, I can't imagine that they come back and he's like, "Oh, that's fine."
But he was like,
"Thanks for the baby and y'all are going to jail."
Yeah, he's doing anything to get his baby back. He's super pissed about it, though.
He's only pissed in his house because they're putting their feet on his furniture.
Yeah.
And because, like, and, but...
So that kind of person to me would not let them go. Exactly.
But,
like, that was a detail that
I feel like
resonated.
He didn't care. He wasn't going to pay anyone more than $2,500 or whatever.
$25,000.
It was $25,000?
I think it was
$2,500, I think.
I think it was $25,000.
Yeah. Well, that makes more sense.
I don't know. What is that in a $2,014?
Double check that.
This came up last time, too.
I could totally be
wrong. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking you.
But then he says, I could pay you back in unfurnished furniture. Like, he doesn't really, he's not going to the ends of the earth for this kid. He's like, I'll give you, like, a nickel.
It's interesting how he toes the line there because he does seem like he's really concerned about his son and trying to get him back, but he's also like managing to work in plugs for his unpainted furniture store at his press conference.
Yeah, exactly. It's very weird.
I think a person, I could see like one type of person just being like, "I'm just glad you brought the baby back. It's all good." Like if they're very zen, it's just like he wasn't that zen.
No, I don't know. I don't know if they actually.
So,
but I was happy that he reacted that way. I didn't want them to go to jail. That resolved like all of my. I was like, "Oh God, don't say anything." Oh God. And then I was like, "Oh my God, just let them go. Go out the way you came in." Okay.
The
end. Like, okay, perfect. They're fine.
It was a moment that I think requires. There are a couple moments in the film that I think require some suspension of disbelief.
$52,000.
$354. Okay. Wow, that's like twice as much.
Yep.
Wait, how much was? And we're 100% sure it was $25,000.
Yeah.
I'm not 200%
sure. I mean, fact check.
I couldn't possibly be more than 100%.
I just feel like
Mr. Pedantic. Yes.
Oh God.
Okay, the entire first 15 minutes of the movie, which you know, the the titles show up 50 minutes into the movie, which is kind of,
I love that.
I love that too. It's there's all this setup, but it's compressed into this, you know, fast paced montage that goes before that, which I love, and I love that kind of economy of storytelling. You look up a synopsis of the movie online, and it's like the entire this whole long paragraph about who these two people are, how they met each other, how they decided to kidnap a baby. But all that stuff is taken care of in the first 15 minutes of the movie, and then the rest of it is getting to the fun stuff.
It's nice
that they set that up so quickly
and so well. You learn so much about, and then like, and everything is done in the exact same way, but it's just a few. Oh, I'm sorry. I think the helicopter's back to pick me up. It's my ride. Just kidding, it's not.
Yeah, actually, that's loud enough. Let's just take a
quick
pause.
Can I get some Cheetos in the meantime, if you have any left?
I don't have Cheetos.
You used to have them.
Oh, you know, you can check on the kitchen table. There might be a bag.
Would you like some?
I would try one cheat.
Would you like some?
No, I'm all right.
A cheat sheet? I like that. I just imagine them on the table spread out. Like, you can look on the table.
Just dump out a bag
of
Cheetos.
Like, they're just on the table. Like, how your licorice I have placed here.
Right.
That was not a sentence. How your licorice I have
placed here. How your licorice I have placed here.
Don't mind me just speaking English or some shit. I don't know. Oh, but, oh.
I got the last bag of Cheetos.
Oh, it was like a little bag. It was the best kind. It's like a fun bag.
I love Cheetos so much.
Yeah, they are the best ones. They're better than Blaze.
You guys have more sounds to listen to.
Oh, no. It's going to sound... This is the sound of Jackie eating Cheetos. Oh, God. It sounds good. Oh, my gosh. It sounds like... Mm-hmm. What's the Cheetah? What's his name? What's
that? Chester Cheetah.
Thank you. Oh, that's a shitty name. I feel like it should be like...
Yeah, Chester.
Yeah, it's Chester's not hot for that. He's wearing sunglasses.
He's supposed to be cool. Nobody's named Chester is cool.
I mean, no. You have to be very cool, and then your name's Chester. And it's like, well, that's a very cool guy with a really shitty name.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right. That there's these repeated images and kind of motifs throughout that whole first section. Mm-hmm. You know, every time they go back to the parole board and it ends with the parole guy saying, you know, okay then.
Yeah. And he always goes, don't forget to do this now, Ed. And he's always like, don't forget to take his finger. And it's like, why would she forget to do that? It's her job. But every time.
That becomes kind of a Coen Brothers signature that we'll see pop up more and more. Those repeated motifs or those repeated lines that show up over and over again. And give the dialogue kind of that rat-a-tat screwball feel.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, when you're watching that introductory section, I think you feel like you're not necessarily supposed to take this 100% literally. It's great for setting up the characters, but do you guys actually think that High and Ed got married after having met each other like 3 times?
I was thinking about that. I was like, that's a little quick.
But... honestly, if you want my real opinion, the entire movie was completely unrealistic, which I had to bite my tongue about because I'm a stickler for reality, but that was kind of the fun in it.
My grandma used to have a saying, real quick, is my bubby. She goes, if television was like real life, nobody would watch it. And I'm just saying, I feel like this applies very well.
There's no question it's stylized, it's over the top.
But want that.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be taken literally, but I feel like the characters are grounded enough that you feel like... That you
you're
feel like you're
kid.
Engaged and you're with him.
Why do you think she liked him? This was like a real concern to me.
I think she was just he was just attracted to his roguish charm.
And
he's charming.
He would have done any. He barely knew her and wanted to fight her fiance and wanted. I don't know. I feel like there's something about that. At least at the very least, is memorable. And I'm sure he built her up in his head, in jail as X, Y, and Z things, and you know, like loving her. But I don't know. Like in her real life. What was she doing?
I don't
know.
She's a cop, so what would drive her to become a cop?
Why, and then, you know, that's part of the fun. It's a cop and a criminal getting together. Jackie, what do you think overall of this movie? I'm curious. Because it sounds like you have mixed feelings.
I do have mixed feelings. Like, I think I liked Blood Simple better.
Whoa.
The one where you covered your eyes?
Uh-huh.
I don't even...
This is like, we're going to do a little comparison all the time.
Yeah.
But here's why. So, I think Raising Arizona was very enjoyable, and it felt light and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I liked about Blood Simple was that there was also this kind of like human insight too, because with everything going wrong and everybody being so stupid and things not going the way you wanted them to go and it being so frustrating, and then just like the way it ended up too, I mean, it was satisfying for sure, but I think that there was something about that that was like a lot of human insight, like this is how it would happen, like if it was going down, like people like weren't communicating properly.
Okay.
There was like this frustration.
And I see that. So I think you were attracted to the realism of that scenario. That,
right.
Like, this
I like
this
realism,
is, right?
I guess, but I like this one, but I guess there might be something about it that was like slightly too unrealistic for me because I don't need it to all be realistic, but like there wasn't enough connection to something very realistic for me to like really resonate with me.
I feel like that makes. I feel like what you're saying totally makes sense because there's parts where I feel like you probably should have to be in a certain kind of mood to watch this movie and not find it frustrating. It was like, there's points, like when Ed, or no, when High's writing that letter to Ed, and he's telling
her, that though.
The whole letter, well, yeah, of course, because it was beautifully written. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sound like that once in that movie, except that letter. Where did he learn to write? But he can't see
it. Wait. Yeah.
He's like, I love that, though.
I agree with that.
I do beg to differ there, is that he's got, like, weird, like, kind of strangely eloquent line readings all throughout.
I know what you're going to say. I feel like I know what you're going to say. Are you talking about the last dream sequence?
No.
That was too obvious.
Like the moment, in that opening montage, you know, when we find out Ed is barren, then we cut to his narration, and he says, unfortunately, Ed's insides were a rocky place where my seed could find no purchase.
It is true. When you said, at first I was like, oh my gosh, he literally knows nothing about the human body, which is fine, or like doesn't know how else to explain it.
Right.
But like it's true. Maybe he was just being eloquent.
Yeah.
No, am I saying that?
It's in the narration or it's in those letters. And a lot of the rest of the time he kind of has that like pick style.
Yeah, maybe in his head he sounds very different than how he delivers everything.
I think I'm gonna rewatch. That's the thing is like I liked it, but it didn't like resonate with me, I guess. And so that's kind of the difference.
I guess that's fair.
But you can see all these patterns in it too, and you can see like more depth to it. For me, I was just like watching it, and
it's worth watching
it
twice.
I think there are multiple because there is a crazy slapstick level, mm-hmm. and that's definitely where a lot of the movie operates.
That's like the first layer,
maybe. But there's real stuff, and there's real, I think, depth in the character relationships going on beneath the surface, and that's part of why it feels satisfying and wraps up nicely.
Take the home.
But you're saying a common critique, because this movie got mixed reviews when it came out. Mm-hmm. Some people praised the originality of the overall vision. Some panned it as style over substance. For instance, Siskel and Ebert, when they reviewed this, Siskel absolutely loved it. Mm. Ebert gave it 1.5 stars.
Oh, my man.
Said it felt forced. Felt like style over substance. And also, interestingly enough, he complained that High, quote, sounds like he just graduated from the Rooster Cogburn School of Elocution.
Maybe he didn't listen to the part where he's narrating.
Yeah.
Maybe he's only...
He's actually meaning that as a complaint that he feels like he sounds unrealistically eloquent. And he doesn't like when characters sound like they're talking, like, too writerly. And he felt like his voice was too writerly. But also interesting because Rooster Cogburn is the name of the star of True Grit, which the Coen brothers later remade.
That's true. That's very true.
So I think clearly that's a major influence on the Coens, is that style of writing and that kind of sometimes overly flowery style.
We all sound smarter in our heads. You know, I feel like everyone always says, oh, that sounded way better in my head before I said it out loud. And maybe that's not always true, but his internal dialogue does sound so...
You know what? My writing is like very different from my speaking.
Of course. Who writes the email the way they actually speak? No one.
Yeah, I mean, like, because, you know, I have to write a lot, obviously, for my job. And my stuff is, like, real eloquent. And then the way I speak, when I listened to a first episode that we ever did on your first podcast,
uh-huh.
I say like every other word, just like right now. I just
you just said like twice in a row.
Yeah, I said like 20 times in a row.
But then how often do you say like?
Like a lot.
Like times two.
So it is interesting how you can sound much different than your internal dialogue too. So
overall, I love the High and Ed relationship overall, because I do feel like
I just want more answers. I want more. Like I wanted.
I don't care.
I think I wanted
I
to
love
see
them.
I think I wanted to see. Because from his perspective, I could see why he's like obsessed with her, because he keeps seeing her, so she's like this very specific character.
Probably the only woman that he really sees.
And pretty cute too, and spooky, and I kind of get it.
Yeah, Josh has a thing for Ed.
But I just wanted to say that
Holly Hunter is hot in this movie.
Oh yeah, she's super cute,
especially in a cop uniform. Whether or not she's a cop, I don't care.
But I wanted to see like one thing that he did that she would have seen that was like a little more, maybe it's there and I have to rewatch it actually. Like that would be interesting, like to really just watch that sequence. But I want to know like why was she into him? Like what little thing, like what small hint of like that's
like,
what it is.
I feel like it was because he was so
obsessed with her.
No, because when she was crying because her fiance left her. What does she call him?
My fiance left me.
And then he says in his internal dialogue, her fiance. And I was like, wait a minute, why did that just happen? Why is she an idiot and a cop?
She's crazier than he is. She's the crazy person.
She is so crazy.
What the hell?
No,
who steals a baby
with a ladder?
That's part of the fun is you expect the criminal to be the crazy person to the cop criminal pairing, but she's the crazy one.
Also, I don't know, like,
yeah,
I kind of feel like she was also the same kind of level as he was and across the board. Like when they got, I don't know, her parents bought them like a trailer in the middle of the desert. I was like, wait, what?
I think
what's going on here?
I think the only way to literally interpret their courtship is just that they kind of saw a spark at each other. And it's just kind of
I just wanted to see the spark that she saw in him.
You got to see. There's a point that I think you have to rewatch the beginning. Because when he's like, basically it's like, you tell him, you tell your fiance that I'm going
to
find him.
I remember that scene. And
you know where to find me. Yeah. The Maricopa County Prison.
I should look at her face more.
She does one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's totally into it.
She is. Right there, she's like, whoa, somebody was fighting for me.
Yeah.
How romantic.
But as soon as they're established, I feel like they complement each other perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's established over and over again. Again, the fact that Hai wants to call the baby Ed Jr., Ed wants to call the baby Hai Jr.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that was very cute.
And especially in that last, and they're talking about how they feel like they're bad for each other, or they kind of accentuate each other's worst impulses. You know, at one point
peas
Ed says,
yeah.
Peas in a pod, exactly. Mm-hmm. That Ed says, you and me were just a fool's paradise. That we're kind of just driving each other to do crazy things.
Which is really cute, actually.
Yeah, and in support of each other and shit. I don't know. If somebody's going to steal a baby for me, if I wanted one,
it's pretty
great.
That's pretty heroic. That's a pretty sweet thing to do.
Although, and then she rolls up the window, she's like, you don't come back here without a baby, you understand me? I was like, are you kidding me? He was already playing. That scene kind of pissed me off when he was playing. I was like, why are you taking all the babies out of the...
They're like falling out.
I know. I was like, how are these babies so... acrobatic.
The Coen brothers had to fire almost 15 babies because the babies were not acting well enough. Ethan was describing the scene saying, some of the babies just started walking on set and we only wanted babies who would crawl. So they had to keep going back and find less developed babies.
Baby's first moments caught on camera. Oh, this baby is far too developed.
Is it
for us?
Yeah.
But whatever babies were caught on camera, I thought they were great baby actors.
Oh, yeah, totally. Such good babies. They were totally Gerber babies. I'm just saying. That's a plug for Gerber, by the way. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Yeah, and Nathan Jr. was so great.
Oh my God!
Amazing.
Clearly,
added that we haven't even talked about
today.
Even talked about the great scene of the movie, which is that Pew's chase in the middle.
Oh my God! Yes, with his hood.
where he's hiding under his little hoodie.
Adorable. Oh God, he really knew how to work that hood.
And another weird little motif, which I didn't get until I was reading about this movie online. Every adult character cries at some point in the movie.
Except for the baby.
Nathan Jr. never cries.
I did notice he never cried. But I didn't really realize that everyone else did cry.
Yeah. Nathan Jr. didn't? Or who did
Nathan
cry?
Jr. Never
Nathan
cries.
Jr. never cries.
He's
a perfect baby.
Because that's why I thought that he took him. He was like, what a good baby. This baby's so well. And then throughout the whole movie, every time, never a peep. And I'm like, this baby is perfect.
Yeah.
I would, you know what? I take back my favorite kind of baby. Is a Nathan Jr. kind of baby.
Ones that never cry and are always perfect.
Yes. And everybody loves
it.
And shit once throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
That baby shit once.
And it's an interesting comparison to the moment where that the whole brood of kids do show up and they're screaming and they're writing fart on the walls.
Yep.
And that's the moment where you think, okay, parenthood looks like hell in this situation.
Right. And they're all their own kids. Also, I don't know if you caught where his foreman and the wife want the baby at one point. I can't remember.
Yes.
Right
now. They also say that they want to take the baby and name it.
She wants something to cuddle with at night.
Yeah, and she says we're gonna name it Little Glenn Jr.
Yeah.
Another moment. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, you are so self. What? Is he hot now?
No.
Oh, I hope he's not listening.
This is not like what you think.
Okay, I have to see.
Is he not like?
I mean, he's actually totally fine looking. Nothing is wrong with him.
But he didn't grow up.
But he just doesn't look like Nathan Jr. to me.
No, he doesn't look the same.
TJ Kuhn, Kuhn.
Yeah,
he's kind of grown up.
He's not like a Jonathan Taylor Thomas, And then when he grew up, and you're like, oh, JTT.
Right. It's hard to tell with babies.
Well,
I mean, totally good looking guy.
Yeah,
not when your mom.
Like when the Olsens grew up and they looked exactly how you wanted them to grow up looking. Like completely homeless. But with a lot of homes.
Completely homeless?
Well, have you seen them? Well, not anymore. Now they're chic.
Yeah, they don't look homeless.
Oh. Do you not remember the whole phase? The whole looking homeless phase, but not homeless at all thing?
I don't remember. I haven't been following the Olsen
Read
twins.
Read your 17, damn it.
I stopped subscribing to 17 last year. I was only in it for the pictures, not the articles.
Oh, that's a big complaint of theirs. Of their 17-year-old readers, yeah.
But ultimately, even though they feel like they don't compliment each other, I love that eventually they do, that final scene where they take down the biker guy together, they're kind of leading him down through a chase. Ed leads him in one direction and High knocks him off the bike, and they complement each other really well, and I feel like that's established over
and over
again.
And she always is like his wingman, even though she's saying son of a bitch, throughout like every, yes. You know, it's not like
you
she's
son
not,
of a bitch!
She'll still be there for him. All right, hang on. Like, she's gonna go get him either way, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I love that.
As much as Blood Simple was inspired by film noir, this is inspired by screwball comedy. You know, totally. Kind of like, 30s and 40s classic romance screwball comedy. And one of the hallmarks of screwball comedy is that the woman is always in control. And the guy is kind of
like
whipped.
In real life, am I right?
Right.
Oh, my love had nothing to do. I don't think.
At the time, at the time, kind of, a revolutionary idea like gender roles, like the woman was never.
Oh, and John Goodman addresses that. He's like, I'll see who wears the pants in this family. Yeah.
No, it's made a joke repeatedly of how, like, kind of whipped Nicolas Cage is.
But at the same time, out of a really good place. It's like, she is everything he wants, and nobody else is getting any.
Right, he should be standing up for her.
Oh, in the addressing of swingers, I loved when they brought that in there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was just like, wow, all right, well, that got real, real fast.
Yeah.
And I love how Nicolas Cage, another incident where he defends Ed so
yeah,
much.
I actually love that.
Don't you touch my wife. Don't. And it's
that was
just talking
really
about
adorable.
It. He's just beating the shit out of this guy.
That's great.
And he never tells Ed why he beat him up.
No.
Sorry, she yelled that really loud, but he never tells.
I'm with you, though.
And I love that. Yeah. He never even lets her know that it's, like, because he wanted to,
Yeah.
I love that.
Because that would, like,
it's really romantic.
Disrespect her. That is very romantic. Oh, agree.
Nick Cage, what happened to you, man? Just kidding. Sorry.
After I said you should come on this episode where we're talking about Raising Arizona, I found out you do not like Nicolas Cage.
I do not like Nicolas Cage. I do not. What? I am a fan of a lot of those Nick Cage face on everything else body pictures on Facebook, like all those groups. I'm a fan of all of them. I don't like make any of my own. I'm not like, I have a job where I do those things anyway. But like, I'm not a huge fan. No. And I kind of, anything with him. Actually, one thing I did want to make a point of was that I have a huge trailer buff. Like I love watching movie trailers.
Okay.
And this, I hated this movie trailer.
I didn't watch this trailer.
I watched a trailer to get a taste and I was like, oh, Josh, what the? No. And then I love the movie. And that rarely happens. Usually I love the trailer and then I'm like, oh, well, this is way worse than the trailer was. So I should have just stuck with the trailer.
It's weird. I mean, I haven't watched enough, like, I bet trailers have changed a lot since the 80s.
Well, honestly, though, and I've watched a lot of old trailers too, and they do have the same kind of like, we're going to narrate this whole thing,
right.
And you're going to think it's going to be blah, 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 blah.
Hi, McDonough was a criminal from the wrong side of the tracks.
That's literally exactly what it is. And they don't have, like, the music, and, it's not nearly as it's way more glamorous now. All trailers are, whatever it is. It could be any movie set to basically, like, Mission Impossible music.
Right.
And that's what it is now. And I hated that trailer.
I mean, I don't know if it's better now that it would be, like, one cop. One criminal.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't
be. They get married
be.
And steal a baby.
Because imagine that movie without everything explained the way it was. If that movie was like Shrunk, you'd be like, oh, this sounds kind of really frustrating and really annoying. I don't want to deal with it.
True.
That's what I thought when I watched the trailer. And then I was like, whoa, way to blow my mind. All right. Sorry. I was mistaken.
Case dismissed.
It was.
This comes at a really interesting point in the career of a lot of the actors of this film.
Mm.
Shortly after this film was released in 1987, Moonstruck came out, which made Nicolas Cage a star.
Mm.
Same year, Broadcast News came out. Holly Hunter's first lead role was Raising Arizona. Immediately after that, Broadcast News, I believe, got her an Oscar nomination.
Mm.
And then in 1988, Roseanne started, and John Goodman became a star.
And never ended, Nick at Night. Long live Roseanne. Yep. I mean,
So this caught all three of those guys just at the cusp of their stardom.
It's huge.
And I personally, as much as I like Nicolas Cage, and I even like him in I loved him in movies like Adaptation, and I even like him in a lot of, I'm not a total bad Nicolas Cage movie guy like a lot of people are.
Yeah.
But I enjoy like The Wicker Man and
that movie scared me. I know we've discussed it. I don't know. It freaked me out. I don't know. I've only seen like parts of it because my eyes were closed.
Nonetheless,
That's what I would do.
I think he's never been better than he's been in this movie.
I have to agree with you. the one movie I saw him in, like Family Man? Not Family Guy, that's not it. You know what I'm talking about?
Was that the one where like he went back in time?
Yes, and it made me so mad. That movie, my mom rented it. We went to Blockbuster. There's a throwback for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a pretty dumb movie.
And it really pissed me off, that whole movie. And I feel like that's like the last time I actually like actively sought out a Nicolas Cage movie, or my mom did, at Blockbuster. And ever since then, I'm like, ugh, anything he's in. But this movie totally revamped him for me. And part of me wants to go on a little bender. But I don't know. Maybe I'll watch the progression of him becoming worse. Maybe that'll
happen. No, I almost feel like he kind of reached an early peak here. Holly Hunter, I love. I'm not. I mean, I haven't seen her in enough movies, but I also feel like she's never been better than she is here. And she's so fun, and like the moment where she sees Nathan Jr. for the first time, she's like, I love him so much.
I love that part.
She plays crazy great.
Oh yeah, she knows how to be a woman. She's a really good lady.
But again, we have the same returning composer who did all the music, and God, I love the music in this movie.
Oh yeah,
the yodeling and all the hillbilly stuff. It's considered the second film in the Coen Brothers' so-called Hayseed trilogy.
Okay,
Blood Simple being the first one, Oh Brother Where Art Thou being the last one. All movies that are kind of about rubes or rednecks or just kind of
and slapsticky, and there's like.
Blood Simple was not slapsticky.
Caricaturish about it.
I'm thinking Oh Brother Where Art Thou is very.
Oh Brother Where Art Thou is absolutely.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, yes, fine.
I mean,
but it's interesting. Just like Jay said on the last episode, that the Blood Simple characters did feel Texas as much as Southern. Yep. These characters don't necessarily feel very Arizonan as much as they feel like Southern stereotypes.
I kind of thought they felt Midwestern. But there's a huge. I didn't think. Oh, Arizona. That was not my first guess.
Not even
a little bit.
And
like hickish for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Very hickish and very caricaturish. And I think got them some bad raps in some quarters for, I guess, like making fun of their characters or feeling like they're above their characters.
Mm. Okay, all right. That makes sense.
And it's not something I necessarily felt. The Coens, when interviewed about this movie, said they deliberately tried to write more sympathetic characters in this movie.
I felt they were sympathetic.
And I absolutely thought they were, but I think a lot of people would disagree.
I think if you don't see the humane side of every one of those characters, you're crazy. Every one of them has, and even Holly, like even when Ed, you see how crazy she is, that makes her more human. Because no one is perfect in this movie from the get-go.
And even John Goodman and his partner, William Forsythe, they're oddly kind of likable. Even though they, steal the baby, too.
But, you still like them because they still want to, be there for the baby. And then at the end, back to the last dream sequence real quick. High's boss, or foreman, that his dream would be that he would tell the story of how High and Ed stole the baby and then no one would believe him. I love that. That was almost biblical, I felt like, that it was like, he'll go on forever telling this story, but no one will believe him.
Yeah, like a Cassandra.
Yes. Oh, I loved that. I was like, you got what you deserve. I wanted that for him. Yeah. I hope that came true.
Because that guy was not sympathetic.
No.
He was the one really non-sympathetic.
And he should have been. You felt like you should have been sympathetic towards him. But at the beginning, because he's a higher power, he's in a position of power, and he's abusing it. And that's where you're like, nope. Hate you.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he's making, Polish jokes. It just comes out like
an angry asshole. Yeah. Oh, I loved it. And that was, there was that commentary.
And then Sergeant Kowalski shows up.
Oh my God, I love that. I mean, what a great moment where he's like, maybe it was one too many jokes.
So, the ending gets me every time I watch the movie.
It's sad, and it
will legitimately make me tear up. And I'm like, wow, I hope so bad. Yeah, you saw it happen. You hope so much it comes true.
But that last line where he says, I read it out loud today because I thought it was so unbelievable. It was complete. It was so profound, and then completely juxtaposed by maybe Utah.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe it was Utah.
Maybe yeah. I love that line. It's like, oh God. Well, back to the beginning. But
it is that kind of ironic juxtaposition. I think is very Ethan Coen, and I loved it.
I was like, oh God, it's not Utah, but all right, whatever you think.
And I love those poignant character moments, and I think it's a huge part of why the movie works. But I think it would not work as well without the high energy set pieces and the wacky hijinks to kind of contrast it and make those quieter moments have weight.
I totally agree with that. I do.
And I think some of the set pieces of this movie are, again, absolutely incredible. And the entire chase sequence through the supermarket with the dogs and the huggies.
I love dogs. And then everyone in every clerk had a gun.
Right.
We didn't talk about that. That was my favorite thing ever.
Every clerk. It's like real life. That's real life.
I do love that. Everybody has a gun in this
movie.
That
was the best.
I forgot the one part that I love with Nicolas Cage when he's like, you were right. I shouldn't have trusted them. A blind man could have seen that. And he's loading up all his different guns saying, we're going to get that baby back. I'm so stupid. I never should have trusted them. Those guys are criminals. They're dangerous. He's loading up all his guns. I was like, oh, I love that imagery. I was like, oh, That whole scene, just beautiful.
It definitely makes you wonder what they think about gun control.
Yeah.
This is what a world is like, this lawless world where just everybody's shooting at each
right?
other.
Right? And like nobody gets hit.
Right.
Until not like even you a dog. Pull the grenade. Yeah, not even a right. dog. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not like, they should, but like yeah. nobody.
Very unrealistic, speaking of unrealistic.
And he hijacks the car, that truck, and then you were driving at the truck driver, screaming at the truck driver. Like, this yeah, the worst driver ever.
Oh my God, yeah.
He's just like,
yeah, no, it's like all of a sudden, like everybody always ends up going, ah, like you can't see what's in front of you. And,
he
like,
literally
you
goes, can I stop? I think he says, can I stop? I was like, what? You don't, yeah, you can stop. You're so the one driving.
And at one point, they like run through a house, and the people in the house are just like,
oh. They don't even look. They barely even look. The house.
I just see like sitting on the couch and just like doing nothing.
And all the dogs run through the house too.
And the final tag of them just picking up the Huggies.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Oh, right here. And he's giving her directions.
Yeah.
He knew exactly where he dropped him because I'm shitty with directions. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. He dropped a pin
what
right
a
there.
Yeah, I dropped right?
That's right. It's before it's time.
Mm-hmm. Again, just a mind-blowing set piece. My favorite character in the entire movie is the guy who runs that little gas station drugstore, the old man.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, he gets down
where he's counting, and
he's like, fuck this, and stands up. And then they're coming back and while they're just screaming for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like,
I love the constant scream. That's what I really did like, is like the constant screaming for no reason while everyone's driving, because like it doesn't help us. Because for me, if I'm in panicked situations, I'm like that one person who I think really annoys other people because I don't panic. So like, I remember once when I was like with one of my best friends in Israel when an elevator was dropping.
Oh, what?
And like, well, you know, but it wasn't like that. I mean, to me, it wasn't like that much, but I guess that's kind of like a scary thing. And like my friends kind of panic. And I just remember being like totally calm, like, you guys, it's fine, like calm down kind of thing. And I found that's like annoying to people. So like, like it's kind of annoying when you're like too calm, I think.
I hate when people freak out too much. I'm like, seriously.
But that's what I loved about this, is that they were freaking out.
Yeah, well, this was not. If in a real life
situation.
It was like
the complete opposite of me. Because like everything was like, ah! Right. I was like, why?
Just to reference another John Goodman Coen Brothers performance, it's like when the dude is yelling, why don't you fucking calm down? And then he's like, I'm calmer than you are, dude. I'm calmer than you are. That's going to make more sense when you see the Big Lebowski in a few weeks.
Okay, spoiler.
So I'll stop. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'm trying to tie all the Coen Brothers movies together.
He's just
can't do that until the very end.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be a mystery.
Oh my God, it's a mystery.
Yes, all right, I'll leave a little mystery.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll leave a little mystery. Sorry, I had to do that.
I'll say my one nitpick and the one element of the movie that I did not think really worked as well as it should, which is basically just the character of Leonard Smalls, the biker dude.
Yeah.
I thought the performance was a little weird, and I don't think the character quite worked as well as they wanted it to.
What would you have changed?
I think maybe even just a better actor. The Coen brothers fought with the guy was named is Randall Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Coen described him as, he's less an actor than a force of nature. I don't know if I'd rush headlong into employing him for a future film.
Huh.
Well, there he is, some raving review.
And they described the character as them trying to envision what an evil character would be like, not from their imagination, but from High's imagination. Almost like it is like a manifestation of him,
his
idea of evil.
I kind of feel like the point that ruined him for me a little bit was when he spoke. I don't want to hear him speak.
Yeah.
When he met with Mr.
I agree. I thought he worked better as a silent.
I kind of liked him in The Office because wasn't he? Maybe I'm forgetting it now.
No, you're really right.
But like, isn't he? Like, he's kind of like much more eloquent than expected when he was talking.
Maybe
I'm wrong. Just my impression of him was like he didn't sound like what I expected him to sound. He was like very like well spoken and just kind of.
He didn't sound like what I expected to either. Yeah, but more in a bad way. Like I wanted him to be more menacing.
And I also didn't want to hear him say anything. I wanted him to just like write everything down or something. Or just they would have just communicated because he, and then you hear that he wants money from it and all this. And I'm like, wait, what? I don't want to know that about you. And you're not as badass when you speak. Like if I don't know what's going on in your mind, you are terrifying.
But I don't like that he was humanized because of that.
That's a good point. That's absolutely a good point.
But if he's supposed to be like, the id, like, then
he is,
I don't know.
I think he is almost supposed to be like
might have like the human part too.
Sure. To me, I see both sides. To me, he's supposed to be more of I think he's supposed to be more almost like a symbol. I didn't quite work on that level.
Right.
But I see the human part too, so you want to get case dismissed.
The second drop, these are all
my catchphrases.
No, we're just we'll give you the credit later on. Don't worry.
Some little trivia pieces about this movie.
Ooh, trivia.
The relationship between Nicolas Cage and the Coens was respectful but turbulent.
Ooh.
Nicolas Cage, as he does for most of his films, came on set with lots of ideas for what he wanted his character to be like.
I
or
like
crazy,
that.
Crazy twists. The Coen brothers don't work like that.
Yeah.
They, I know. No shit.
They have a very specific idea of exactly how they want their actors to act. Nicolas Cage felt like they were autocratic, was his word. He said, yeah, Joel and Ethan have a very strong vision. I've learned how difficult it is to accept another artist's visions. They have an autocratic nature.
I like when he called himself an artist.
Well, yeah.
That's... But I, okay.
All right.
Back it up. I actually kind of appreciate that because if I was a director, I would hate Nicolas Cage. But if I was Nicolas Cage, I would hate the directors.
Like, yes,
if you're an
I
actor, but if you're a director, you are directing.
Right. But if you're a director, you need actors. And actors also feel artistic.
And some directors love it when actors come to set with ideas for their characters and they see it as more of a collaboration. And the Coens
like are not those people.
And the Coens do not want to collaborate. They have an idea and they want you to just...
And yeah. I respect both of them equally is all I'm saying. I'm not saying Nicolas Cage is right. I can just kind of...
I can completely see both sides. It is what happens when two artists of strong visions come together.
And maybe he feels like he couldn't deliver what they want and doesn't want to ruin the character if he can't bring with them what they want, but maybe he feels like the character would be better if he was able to influence it with his own ideas.
I totally get where both artists are coming from. At the same time, I see it as a missed opportunity and I wish they worked more together. Because in many ways, Nicolas Cage is almost a perfect Coen Brothers actor. And how well he can play that kind of
that kind of
stylized part and can be really fun.
Oh,
and
his eyebrows and his eyes.
Yeah, so expressive.
Oh god.
Yeah.
He looks like a caricature in that movie the whole time.
Yeah.
The one idea he did come up with that made it to the movie was his hairstyle.
Uh-huh. Just like looks like he's right after all. Case dismissed.
But I wish they'd found a way to work together better, but I can see where both of them are coming from.
Interesting.
I'd like to see them in a fight.
A quote about just their overall working process. Yeah, anecdotal reports suggest that actors who skip words on a Coen Brothers set, even seemingly insignificant dialogue like uhs and ums in line readings, are politely requested to repeat the exercise with complete accuracy. So what it was apparent is the brothers' approach to movie making and a desire to control their films completely.
I'm into that. Too.
Yeah.
I don't hate that at all. I think that makes sense.
I like it. I like how much control they have, but it obviously does not work for every actor.
I could see it not working, but at the same time, makes sense.
Joel officially directed the movie. Ethan officially produced the movie. Mm-hmm. They both wrote the screenplay. Unofficially, Ethan also helped direct. Joel also helped produce.
Right.
They do really pretty much everything together. Paul Newman would work with them later and later say, "I've never worked with two guys before who shared complete creative authority but never fought."
That's so cute.
It's interesting how how much on the same page they are.
Wow, yeah.
It really is it's kind of like
they're in sync.
It's must just be a brother thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Love.
If I was trying to do anything with my sister, there's not a chance we'd be on the same page for anything.
Not even funny.
So it's not just like
Sorry. Yeah.
Really. It's
no,
not
I,
just
yeah,
the same
I don't think thing. I think most people probably agree with you on that. Most siblings are not like, "Oh yeah, we agree on everything."
Okay, I feel like weirdly, so my brothers are Oh my god, when my brother is turning 30
Mazel.
Tomorrow.
Whoa.
Congrats.
I hope we don't run into his birthday.
No. And then my other brother's 24, so we're close in age. I'm right between them. But then my little sister is like so much younger than I am, and she and I are actually like way more similar than I am to my brothers, which is just kind of interesting because we're 12 years apart and plus people think we're twins like all the time.
What?
It's so weird. Yeah, because like we both look 17, so it's really weird.
Is she 17?
She's 15.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
So, like, but she's always looked very old for her age, and I always look really young. But the thing is, we're, like, as we were describing this, I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, like, in a weird way, we have a lot of very similar tastes, too. Even though we actually have very different personalities, sometimes we, like, come together, and it works. So I could almost see, like, doing something creative with her and us just being like, yep. Whereas, like, in real life, we're like, bam, like, no, all the time. But, yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
But if you had to work together to get one common goal.
Like, I feel like we have similar artistic vision, actually, so that'd be interesting.
That's cool that,
So you I see it. I don't know.
Right. I think
that's
it's just, you know, different combinations of parent DNA, I think, will create siblings who are more or less like each other.
Yeah.
As it turns out, me and my sister, who I adore, by the way, but could not be more my opposite.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine us collaborating on anything like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sorry. I got nothing. I had a dog. We agreed on basically everything. She shit. I picked it up. There we go.
There we go. Working in sync.
Yeah. We got that end product done.
Raising Arizona was made for about 5 times the budget of Blood Simple's budget. Still not a whole lot of money. Became a minor hit for Warner Brothers in 1987. Just under Ernest Goes to Camp. but still more than Warner Brothers expected. did well enough that Warner Brothers decided to offer them this other movie they had in the pipeline called Batman. They turned it down. leaving us to only wonder what the Coen Brothers Batman film would have looked
like.
Oh
my God. Yeah.
Could have been amazing.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I want to see that now.
In a way, I almost feel like Tim Burton's a better fit to the character, but he still would have loved to see what they would have done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John Crowder is the name of the artist doing the yodely theme that shows up at the beginning and end and throughout, mm-hmm. which I love that theme. The Ode to Joy also shows up throughout, this kind of hillbilly country version of, Ode to Joy, Beethoven. And weird little tidbits and crossovers to other Coen movies. High works at Hudsucker Industries. Kind of a shout out to the movie The Hudsucker Proxy that's coming up.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently, they already had that name in mind, even if they didn't know what they wanted to do with it.
Oh, I love that stuff. I love when people have their names. Like, oh, well, this is what we would name it. I love when people know the answer to that question. I don't know. I would name most things. Like, CVS? Is that name taken?
Emmett Walsh from Blood Simple shows up very briefly as the foreman at that work.
Crazy.
Also showing up very briefly, the jail counselor from the jail who talks to Nicolas Cage and John Goodman in that, like, little group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, with the giant chai.
Yeah.
That was a really Jewish of me.
Oh my God, I wanted that high.
That was a huge I was like, whoa.
Give it to me.
I thought that was really interesting that. Yeah.
Well, that guy, we're going to see him again because he plays Cy Abelman in A Serious Man way down the line.
Interesting.
Jeez, I really got to keep up.
And then, you know how we said the Coen brothers don't like Blood Simple anymore?
The last episode?
Yeah, looking back on it, they're like, this is their first movie and it's crap.
Wow.
Well, it turns out Ethan Coen doesn't like Raising Arizona anymore either. He says he felt like he was just trying to make a mainstream movie to please the studio, and he was just kind of sucking up to whatever he thought the audience wanted.
I did feel satisfied.
I knew there was a reason I didn't like it that much.
You know what?
Which means now I just feel like I just don't trust either of their judgment anymore.
Ooh. Or maybe it's just time goes on, they're like, you know, hindsight's 2020. I was like 40-40. Sorry.
He does say he thinks Miller's Crossing holds up. So that will be interesting next episode.
Interesting. That's very... They're also a little... Clearly, they're a little anal. A little critical of their own work.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Make sure that everything is perfect. Yeah. So,
no,
I mean,
anal for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, you know what? If it didn't go exactly your way...
He told me, in here, he's anal.
All right. We don't need to know where in here is anal.
I was pointing to my butthole.
Yeah. For all you listeners.
In my anus, I'm anal. Okay, well, before we go to our final feature, any final thoughts about Raising Arizona or points you guys want to make?
I loved it. Surprised me. And
even as a non-Nicolas Cage fan.
Even as a Nicolas Cage lover of Facebook pages that hate him, I really liked it.
All right.
Shocked me. And it was one of those movies that I felt like I was hoping someone would say, what was the last movie you watched recently? Not good to say that.
Oh, wait. Oh,
you made a Raising Arizona reference. It worked.
I was just about to end on a hateful note, but now we can do a positive note. So, interesting. So, I don't even do this kind of work usually, but I am randomly working on a restraining order. And just in talking about...
Josh?
That's against my co-host. He's not allowed to say more than...
We're going to have to do remote shows
from now. It's a very small restraining order.
We're going to do Skype podcasts from now on. Yep.
And 2 inches?
We were just... I was talking to a partner like about like these kind of cases, and he was saying there was like a case that he heard about where it was like in a hospital, and this woman was like coming in and creepily like looking at the babies, and so I had to get a restraining order against her, and I was like that's some kidnapping shit, and I just watched Raising Arizona. And he just like busted up laughing so hard, and I was like, I am so happy that my podcast is like making me so much cooler in the eyes of partners. And this is the first time I've ever worked with this partner. So he would pop up like, oh my God, she is so cool. And I was like, I know.
Look at all her knowledge.
Yeah, so actually there is a benefit to Raising Arizona, and it is that.
That's why I get a promotion.
On one side it's sad, on the other side you totally hated this movie.
Yeah, on the other side I'm with Ethan on it,
You don't hate it. But you didn't. I don't feel like
We're gonna see. I have a feeling that Raising Arizona is gonna be my least favorite out of all the Coen Brothers movies. I just have a feeling.
I don't think that's gonna be the case.
I don't think that's true at all.
We're gonna see.
Well, I wanna hear a few of your there's so many points of view that I wanna hear on a few different movies that
I will see.
I will be listening.
Because I feel like they have more movies like Raising Arizona than movies like Blood Simple. So it's going to be
interesting. And I'm going to hate all of them.
Maybe you'll hate all of them. Maybe you're just going to be hating all these movies. What if that happens?
Doubtful.
Well, then look at all of the hatred you'll build up.
Yeah.
Hopefully Have a restraining order might go both ways.
It's okay. I'll be Cisco and you be Ebert, and you'll just you'll be the negative naysayer, negative Nancy for all these movies.
Oh, whoa! No, is that a feminist coming over there? All right, you can be a negative Nathan if you want.
Fine, you can be a negative Nathan.
Thank you, John.
Junior.
No, I'm Jesus. Yes.
All right. Well, whatever. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I feel like this is the movie where the Coen brothers kind of became the Coen brothers.
That's not what Ethan thinks.
That's obviously not what Ethan thinks, but that's what I think.
Which is ironic, but you can think whatever you want to think.
Anyhow. It's hard to remember your first steps. I'm just saying.
So that's Raising Arizona. And let's go on to our final feature of the day, which, funnily enough, is called Raising Arizona. This is where we do a quiz on a random topic inspired by the film. In this case, the topic is multiple births.
Oh, God.
So, all of these questions that I'm going to ask you guys, and Allie, you're going to be facing off against Jackie.
You're
going to
win. I'm the worst.
Why? I look like I know a lot about multiple births.
Don't knock yourself down ahead of time.
I think you're coming back on this one.
No. You should have heard me last time.
I know all about them quints. I mean,
maybe.
Don't say it after one time. Come on. Where's your competitive spirit?
All right. After this one, then
there.
You can decide.
I'm just going to be pissed about it. All right. No. I'm going to win. How about that?
I'm not really that competitive.
Positive attitude.
I'm a guest.
We got.
I'm a winner.
Question one, and all these are multiple choice questions.
Do we have to bang on the desk or something?
If you think you know the answer, just say ding. Ding.
Oh, you have to. Oh, God. All right.
Because we don't. Should I get a bell for this section?
I'll bring the bell. I'm going to bring a bell for you just as a gift.
That's cool. If you want to donate a bell,
I will donate. Actually, I have a bell in my house.
Perfect.
It's like one of those, like,
but in the meantime, I have to say ding.
Yes.
Oh, fine. All right.
Question number one.
That's my invention.
In 2003, all triplets in North Korea were forcibly removed from their parents and placed in state-run orphanages. This happened because A, Kim Jong-il believed a triplet would one day dethrone him. Ugh. B, 3 is considered an unlucky number in Korea. C, the poverty-stricken parents were not caring for their children properly.
Ding A? Ding A.
So, I'm going to say Jackie. Ding A also.
You guys are both right.
No,
I want to do a good one though.
I need to share my elbow.
You can't really do a high five because the mics
because all the mics are in the way.
Oh, God.
Mics.
Yeah, it's really.
But we were so excited. That was like good. Trying to high five for like
that
20
was
seconds.
Really good.
Bam.
See,
I felt
that. The number 3 is thought to actually be a sign of good luck in Korea, and triplets are revered. Which is why Kim Jong-il in 2003 thought that a triplet would one day topple his regime.
I heard that. I remember hearing that, being like, what the crazy? But that, you know what?
Just one of a million crazy things Kim Jong-il did.
That's like the only crazy thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, just the one.
No, just the triplet thing.
The only crazy thing about North Korea.
Otherwise, totally normal.
Question number two. In some scientific literature, identical twins are also known as A, mirror twins, B, super twins, C, wonder twins.
Wait, in some scientific literature?
Scientific literature.
What's science?
About identical twins. Were they all...
C?
You didn't say ding.
Sorry, ding?
It's ding. You have C, Allie.
Wait, you said identical twins?
Identical twins.
Ding A?
Mirror twins and wonder twins?
Yeah.
You're both wrong.
All right. High five, chill. Yeah. I don't care. Whatever. That's good score.
As long as she's not winning, I love her.
In some literature, identical twins are also known as super twins.
That's weird.
And there's also an advocacy group called MOST, which is Mothers of Super Twins.
All right. You know what? Let's just keep it at mad and be happy about it. Sorry, I didn't.
Wonder. The Jan and Chase are the Wonder Twins, by the way, and they go like, "Wonder Twin powers activate."
I knew there was a reason.
Wait. Say that again.
The Wonder Twins are like, they were like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Okay.
I want twins.
Do you want twins?
Yeah. My mom thinks I'm crazy.
Right now?
No, not like right
just,
now.
Just checking.
Like,
I don't know. You could kidnap
the first time I have babies. Sorry to talk about me and do this tangent, but the first time I have babies, I want to have twin boys. I get two babies
for
in one pregnancy.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Twins are so friggin' cool, and identical twins are so awesome. And my mom's like, that's going to be a nightmare. Like, you don't understand what it's like to raise children. And I'm like, but I kind of do. But anyway, I just really want twins.
Then you're going to want to pay a special attention to this next question, Jackie.
Oh, phew.
Okay.
I have twins in my family.
Jackie. Segue. Which of these will not increase your chances of having twins
Wait,
or triplets?
I don't get to answer? Come on.
Sorry. Well, I'm saying it. I'm gearing it to... You could both answer.
It's fine. I'll just leave. I know the answer.
Because you're going to want to know because you want
to
have twins.
I do need to know the answer.
That's true.
Which of these will...
I probably should know because I don't.
Which of these will not increase your chances of having a multiple birth? A, having a BMI above 30.
Wait, which will not?
Okay. Right. Which two of these will, one of them will not.
Okay.
A, having a BMI above 30.
Mm-hmm.
B, eating a lot of red meat.
Mm-hmm.
C, eating a lot of dairy.
I have no fucking clue.
I hope it's A. Let's just say A.
Yeah, I'm going to go with A also. Fuck it.
You guys are both wrong.
What?
The answer is B, eating a lot of red meat is,
that will not help you?
But
that's crap. Wait. I eat a lot of red meat, not because I thought that that would help me, but I just wanted it to be true because I eat so much red meat.
Wait, it will not help you.
Red meat will not help you, but...
I was a vegan. That's terrifying.
Okay.
Oh my God, wait, how many? No. I wonder.
A 2006 study concluded that women who eat dairy are 5 times more likely to have a multiple birth than vegans.
Oh, and I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I drink raw milk. I'm having twins. That's all I'm saying.
And also...
She's lactating raw milk. That's all she's saying. All right.
And also, if you are obese, you're more likely to have twins.
I'm not going to be obese.
Oh my God, I'm totally
for the listeners, I am not obese.
That's a total reason for Project
Even
Skinny.
Even though I am eating Cheetos this entire episode.
I'm just saying, if you want to just bulk up,
well,
if you really want to have
people
twins.
People can't tell if you're fat or pregnant. Maybe that's why. I feel like that's bullshit.
The baby's just everyone's inside
like,
of you.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I just had two. Like, maybe they're 2 years apart. You don't know. I'm just always fat.
Did I eat a baby or did I get pregnant? I don't know.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, I'm just going to continue to drink milk, which I do anyway.
All right.
Yes.
Question number 4. In the year 1270, according to legend, Countess Margaretha, the Countess of Holland, was approached by a poor woman carrying twins who asked for charity. And the Countess scolded her, saying, "Get away, you shameless beggar. It's impossible for a woman to have 2 children at once from just one father." The poor
I love that.
The poor woman replied, "Then may God let you have as many children as there are days in a year." Sometime later, the Countess became pregnant and gave birth to 365 children.
Oh my God.
All the boys all the boys were named Johannes, and all the girls were named Elizabeth. What happened next? A. One baby survived and became King Johannes IV of Holland. B. The babies were left to die in the forest, but they all turned into fairies. C, all the babies and the Countess died the next day.
Wait.
D, none of the above. She had some serious reparative surgery. And
this was 1270. She probably would have.
Yeah, she probably put some leeches on her.
If she ever had a baby again, it would have just fallen.
Yeah. Just slip and slide right out of that shit.
But wait, this is a myth?
This is according to legend. According to legend.
I like the first one, I think, but they all died.
Can you repeat the answer? Sorry.
Because, no, in real life, a woman did not have 365 kids.
Wait, what do you mean? So she didn't have a kid?
So how does the myth end? A, one baby survived and became King of Holland. B, the babies were left to die in the forest but turned into fairies instead. And C, all the babies and the Countess died the next day.
Wait, I kind of like that the one lived, but I didn't like that it became king. Oh, I don't know. Oh, God.
I'm going to say ding.
I don't like the fairies. Oh, sorry.
C?
Okay.
If they all die? No, she should be... I don't know. Ding A? Ding A. I keep going with A. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Jackie gets a point.
Oh.
Yes! I'm so good at twins.
In the story. See, now you're up by one. Now you're winning.
Finally. Oh, this is the first time I've ever been winning. Don't worry.
All the babies and the countess.
And kick your ass. I'm just saying.
Die the next day. But luckily, they were baptized before they died.
What?
So at least they all went to heaven. And there is still in Holland a dual baptismal font, one labeled Johannes, one labeled Elizabeth.
Wait, so she died too? The mean lady died too?
The mean lady died
too. See, like, I don't like that. I want the mean lady to live for... No, she should live and be, like, so emo about it.
I have 365 kids and they all died in a day.
And now I just have a saggy vagina and they're all dead. Like, got nothing to show for it, but, like... You know,
it just seemed like as far as like where this legend was going, it just seemed like most likely that they would all die.
Exactly. That's the satisfying ending.
No, she should grow old and gross, but like, it doesn't matter. Fair. Whatever. I'm going to rewrite that legend later. It's fine.
It's Question true. Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
What is super fecundation?
Ew.
A, having more than one set of twins at the same time. B, having identical twins that also have the exact same DNA as their mother. C, having fraternal twins, each with a different father.
What is that? Oh, that must be possible.
How the hell is that possible?
Wait, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
No, you're a lawyer.
But if I was a doctor.
But if you had a doctor and a...
What if you had sex with somebody like...
They're not twins. Like, that's not what a twin is. Twin is when the egg splits.
No, that's not two different eggs.
Oh, no, it depends.
When you're
fraternal. If they're fraternal,
that's what it said.
But They have to be at the exact same time.
I cannot answer your questions.
Wait. Oh, wait. Maybe if you inject it with a turkey baster, maybe that's what it is.
Wait,
you know what I mean?
But yes, maybe not.
If they mix the semen.
Because what if you had sex with one guy and then another guy like right after?
And
we
have fast swimmers and slow swimmers.
Right. Oh. Right. Fast. I'm so fast. I just want to look up that issue separately, and I'm just curious.
Yeah. No, that's interesting research.
Super.
So
if you had to guess, super.
So this is like a Snapple fact. Is that how you found this one?
All of these are Snapple.
Yeah, I figured. He's like, that's so Snapple for this show. Oh, God.
Sponsored by Snapple.
Yeah, right. And Gerber. Not together. She'll rot your teeth. Forgot what half of them were, but it sounds like fecal, which kind of grosses me out.
Super fecal. Okay, one it, is...
A, having more than one set of twins at the same time. B, having identical twins that have the exact same DNA as their mother. C, having fraternal twins, each with a different father.
Let's say ding A.
Ding C.
Allie gets a point.
Yeah! Oh!
So it's possible!
Boom! It is
boom!
Possible.
Boom, drop the mic.
It is
possible.
High five because it's possible.
Well, yeah, because number two
is possible.
Still not beating you.
Okay.
There is a name. Yeah, that's the name for it. Sometimes women have twins from two different ova that kind of like merge together and become one. Yeah, like one
amniotic. So they are from different sperm.
Yeah, from different sperm from different fathers.
That is one dank hoe. Yes. That's a dirty bitch. Oh, gross. Seriously.
That's the kind of twins I'm talking
about. Right? How do you handle that? Oh my God. That is hard to explain.
I don't want
to
do that.
That is so hard to explain to people. They don't have the same dad. Don't worry about it. It's all
Yeah, you got to like line up two guys and be like, so I don't want to make this weird. I just really want to have twins with two different sets of DNA.
Imagine that episode of Maury. Oh, that would be good. You are both the father. What the fuck?
That would be so awesome.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Damn, science is so cool.
Yeah.
Question six. How many sets of identical quadruplets are there worldwide?
Oh, quad. Okay.
Identical quadruplets.
Jesus Christ.
A, 70. B, 700. C, 7,000.
In the world?
In the world.
In history? Like alive right now or
alive
throughout history?
Right now.
Alive right now. Alive right now. Alive right now. There's
wait, 700. 70,
700, 7,000.
7,000. Identical quadruplets.
Identical quadruplets.
I have one sex, right? Is that a stupid question?
Oh, wait. So identical.
If they're identical,
you
can,
well,
then.
Okay, I know, but. Yeah. No, but
if one has a penis and one has a vagina,
no,
they're not identical.
But, okay, I think facially. There was, okay, only reason I'm saying that is because I saw an article recently where basically there were identical twins, like facially. They were completely
fraternal.
Identical, but they had different genders.
They're still technically
I totally
fraternal.
Agree with you. I'm just saying they couldn't.
Well, like the Olsen twins are fraternal.
You
know that.
Well, yeah, but they are the same gender, so they say. No, I'm just kidding. I have no
no, but I'm just saying literally identical, like split egg.
Right.
Split egg four times, not like
right.
Yeah, like, how often?
Because like fertility like... drugs will have multiple eggs, so that's why you
maybe
have
you are a doctor.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I feel like 7,000 makes sense, but I'm not answering that yet. I don't know. Dang, math is hard.
I'm going to say, I don't care if I win because I always lose. So I'm just going to say ding A.
Okay.
Ding, I don't know. I can guess B yet. No, fuck it. Go with your gut. Ding C.
Jackie gets a point.
Jackie gets
yes.
a point.
I know you say you don't
but
care.
But she doesn't care if she wins.
Yes. Uh-huh. I don't care. I'm uh-huh.
But if she
for
wins,
now.
She's going to drop it low. Drop it low.
Okay, bro. So wait, that means you're up a point total, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're up a point total.
You're supposed to be keeping track.
Yeah,
I'm keeping track.
I'm focusing on winning.
I'm keeping track. In the world, there are 3,500 total pairs of quadruplets, but only 70 identical ones. And that overall number keeps going up due to fertility treatments. We're having more and more quadruplets all the time.
But
are they?
Not necessarily identical.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because those drugs make you have multiple eggs.
Yeah.
But they don't make... I didn't know that shit. Gross. I don't... Oh, God.
Yeah,
being
like
a human
awesome
is super
mom.
Icky.
Seven.
Ugh, remember awesome mom?
Question seven. This is another legend, and this time this is a Roman legend.
Oh, I love me some Nash.
In Roman legend, the twins Romulus and Remus were born to Rhea, who was a Vestal virgin. You may remember
them. Oh, I know that story.
You may remember them from the last quiz. Where the Vestal virgins were like the priestesses who...
Oh, I love this shit.
Who, if they get pregnant, they broke their chastity and they're buried alive.
That's right.
So in this case, Mars, the god of war, seduced and impregnated her. But it didn't matter to the king of Rome, who decided to bury her alive because she broke her chastity. And then the twins were ordered to be thrown into the river Tiber. But a servant took pity on them, and instead of throwing them into the river, put them in a basket and floated them down the river.
Moses?
Because that's better, right?
That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, then they bring the Pharaoh, and then they talk to God, and then they bring the burning bush and shit like that.
Right.
And then you have Passover. You're welcome.
I mean, I guess you just got to hope that at some point somebody notices the twins. Otherwise, you're just killing them anyway.
Otherwise, you're like, throw that baby down the river. The baby out of the bathwater. That's all I'm saying.
So the twins were discovered by two animals who fed them and raised them for
Timon
years.
I know the answer.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Who fed them and raised them for years until a human couple eventually found them and raised them as their own children. The two animals were A deer and a lizard. B, a wolf and a woodpecker. C, an owl and a lion.
B.
Allie?
I don't remember what B was. Sorry.
A wolf and a woodpecker.
Which is so weird. I don't think woodpeckers existed. I just think it's wolf.
I feel like wolf makes sense, but wait. Deer, bullshit. Too many of them. What was the last one?
An owl and a lion.
I feel like owl just because of the lollipop, you know what I mean?
How many licks? Roman times.
I feel like owl and lollipop, whatever.
Owl and lollipop?
You know what I'm saying? That's an animal.
No!
Yeah, he gets a point.
Oh. Yeah! Because wolves are also my spirit animals. That's how
course,
I knew that one.
Of course,
one.
That's
how
what it is.
Bam!
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So there were woodpeckers.
The wolf, like the wolf raised it, but the woodpecker, like, fed it.
Oh, because it
like
ate
a baby, like a baby bird. Yeah.
It chewed the food and then spit it in their mouths.
Like
yeah, and Alicia Silverstone, that shit.
And later, Romulus would become the founder of Rome after killing his brother. But that's a whole other story.
Because
I love that story.
It's Romulus and Remus, right?
Yeah.
Because Remus, somehow in my mind, is related to wolves. I don't know why.
I think you're right.
Is that like
but
a genus or some shit?
It is. I think you're right, but I forget.
Look at
I didn't look up that part of the legend. All right, three more questions in this quiz.
And I think Jackie's winning by a lot, so I'm just
she's only
going.
Winning by two. You can win.
I could still win. Whatever. I still win this podcast. I already said that from the beginning.
Whoa.
Question eight.
Case undismissed.
What do Iroquois Native Americans believe about twins? A, one is always good and one is always evil. B, one is always smart and one is always stupid. C, one will become a great warrior, the other will become a great shaman.
Oh, C. Ding C.
Jackie.
Oh, it's my feet. just tapping on the ground. Just
tap dancing.
The first one is
one is always good and one is always evil.
I want to say C, but I want to say
A. She doesn't
want
to be a copycat.
I don't want to be a copycat.
Or a copy wolf animal.
Sure call.
Spirit animal.
How you want to play it.
There's a strategy to this because if I say C,
then you still win.
I'm still winning because we still get up.
She's discovered the secret of the game.
But I'm still a point ahead, so I'm going to risk it and say A.
Jackie gets a point.
Bam!
Oh, wow. Boom. I'm shitty at this game.
In fact, many Native American tribes believe that whenever a twin is born, one is an avatar of good, one is an avatar of evil. And
wait,
in fact, as soon
as... they become avatars?
not like the blue guys.
No shit. Thanks, Josh.
But...
He's like, do you know anything?
But many tribes, as soon as they decide one twin is the evil twin, they will actually boot him from the tribe.
Yeah. And then he becomes a warrior or a shaman. I don't know. I just made
that part up.
Oh, well, I totally believed it. It sounded very... You know what?
Yeah.
You're lies. Yeah. You're a good fucking liar.
I know.
That's why you don't have to steal things.
Face. Yeah.
But...
It's too good.
Yeah. Callback? Oh.
What?
I just wanted to refer to the Remus issue. This is why I thought that was something with wolves. Because of Remus Lupin in Harry Potter.
Oh.
Which is weird. Because I just looked it up. Because I started typing in Remus, and then Remus Lupin came in.
Well, the Lupin.
Like
I know
Potter.
How... Yeah. Because Lupus has something to do with wolves. That's like a genus of wolves. Not the disease.
It's Lupin, not Remus, that's the wolf part. But somehow in my mind there was a
connection. Well, because you thought Remus Lupin, and then you ended.
Yeah.
Wait.
Weird.
I have no idea. I've got to read stuff later.
Or maybe Remus Wolf Child is a thing.
Well,
whatever. Anyway.
Allie, I think you already technically lost, but we still have two questions.
Oh, yeah. Let me lose a little harder.
Question number 9. Yeah. True or false?
True.
Dogs are better at telling identical twins apart than people.
Sorry.
True.
Wait, dogs?
Dogs are better at telling identical twins apart than people, true or false?
True?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'll take it.
Because,
I don't care.
Because when parents get confused, dogs can tell them apart by smell.
Yada.
Well, then I guess that makes sense, yeah. Also, like, I don't know.
Dogs are smarter at shit.
People are, like, way too busy.
Yeah, should pay attention.
Like, knowing their own kids.
Yeah.
And then finally, question 10. What is the record for most children born to a single woman?
Ew.
Is it... A, 38 children.
Oh.
B, 53 children. C, 69 children.
Oh, I think it's 69.
I feel like that's way too... I feel like... I feel like 69 is like the only way to go about that one. Yeah, you gotta go. I agree with that one.
It is 69.
Oh, gross.
Why am I thinking of multiple children?
Between the years 1725 and 1765, a Russian man named Vasilyev had a wife whose name is unknown.
Oh, yeah, because she was a...
Vasilyev, yes. Her name is not known, but she had 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, 4 sets of quadruplets.
And the saggiest vag you've ever seen.
Okay, but I just want to comment that she's Russian.
So?
And twins are in Russian blood.
And they're like Russian dolls. They just keep coming out.
Yeah, they're matryoshkas.
Not only that, this guy had another wife who had 6 pairs of twins and 2 sets of triplets.
See? What's up with those multiple births in my Russian blood?
I'm saying this guy's got crazy sperm.
Is it him, though? I thought it was... I don't know. What decides that?
Why didn't you ask this question of what determines twins? The woman or the man?
Wait, no, I know.
No, it's the woman.
I don't think it's either.
No, sex is determined by man.
I don't think we really know what causes twins.
No, we do. It is. No, there's. Look, you did a lot of research, but you had to drink one more Snapple for this shit.
Yeah.
Do your fucking research.
No, but I think that.
I'm saying this guy is super sperm.
I think you're super wrong.
No.
I'm going to say you're super wrong. You're super
This guy just had like ultra baby making sperm.
Or
like,
both of those women were super like,
I'm making two babies.
Wait, did you say they were identical though?
No.
I did not say
no,
identical.
No, just twins.
I just wonder.
How many were?
Yeah, because if it was, if there were a lot of fraternal twins, then I could see like his sperm is like, you know.
Maybe it breaks apart really easily.
No, but it's the egg that breaks apart.
Well, the sperm is really sharp then. I don't know. I'm not a doctor either, remember? Actually, I just got all those questions wrong on purpose. I'm a doctor. Yeah.
I'm trying to scare
my patients.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so that's multiple births, and that pretty much wraps things up for this episode of Except the Mystery.
Yes.
Allie, do you have anything you want to talk about, anything you want to plug to the good people who listen to this show, places where people can find you online, stuff to check out?
Twitter?
I do have a Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You could follow me. You could follow me in literally as well. I will be leaving here and go to my apartment. Don't follow me there. I will not tell you the address. Follow me at Ali Bezis. It's like it's just like exactly what it sounds. If you don't.
There's multiple ways to spell Ali. You should spell it out.
Oh, God, I know.
And Bezis.
Pisses me off.
Like A-L-Y?
How else do you spell Bezis? What do you mean? A-L-L-I-E-B.
Is it spelled like Yeezus?
Yeah, it's like, you know, Ali Bezis, you know, like that.
Okay, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not like fucking that, because I'm not, oh, God. Me and Kanye, we roll deep.
Yeah, we're
tight. Yeah, we're so sorry. No, it's Ali, A-L-L-I-E-B-Z-I-S.
Bam.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't know. I'll probably have some stuff coming up soon. You should check me out. I'll be around town, trying to do some new shows, get some shows together.
Yes, we'll be there.
Talk some dirty shit on stage in front of my mother.
Yeah.
That's the plan. Yeah.
What's up?
Continue to follow Jackie on Twitter.
Yeah, I have not. Oh, wait, that's because we haven't released the last episode.
Yeah.
But people really better follow me.
We record all these a while ahead of time because we're trying to like kind of stockpile and, you know, get ahead of the game.
I hope Snapple's still relevant.
Do you think they might become irrelevant in a month?
I don't know. Blockbuster did. Oh,
boom!
Second
Blockbuster took a few years to be relevant.
I mean,
that
there was a
long,
big and tall in Blockbuster in like a week in my town, like a men's warehouse, big and tall, fat people.
Okay, but no, there was the Blockbuster on like Wilshire and La Brea.
Okay,
was
well,
there
not
and it was
all
just
of us are
empty
from
for
here.
Years.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Not all of us are from Wilshire and La Brea.
Some of us are from LA.
Is that how LA people sound?
Oh my God, it's really good.
That's my LA accent.
You should just do impressions forever.
Yeah.
I
should make that my thing.
That's your thing.
And just, you know, follow me at Radio TFE on Twitter, and I'm always talking about stuff and occasionally making jokes.
But I thought say my Twitter. It's MacLean, MacQueline.
I thought I made a pretty good Twitter joke the other day. I said, I'm not that thirsty. I'm just going to have an Ariana Tall. Get it?
No.
Like instead of Ariana Grande.
No.
Ariana Tall.
Oh. Oh, and now she falls
over
the crowd.
Is it that
bad? You use 140 characters on that
shit?
Do
you know why? I don't do this on purpose, but I am literally that person that goes to Starbucks. I go to Starbucks like relatively frequently enough, and I'm always like, can I get the small one? Can I get the big one? Like,
still?
Oh, God.
I still don't know what they are.
It doesn't really fucking matter. If they give you attitude, just be like, it's coffee.
I just like
too early.
And I'm like, can I get the biggest one?
No.
But not that Trenta one, right?
No,
like,
no, that's just insane.
Trenta is the only one that I actually know.
I don't even think they have Trenta on the menu.
No, they don't. It's like a secret menu. Yeah. It's
like the In-N-Out secret menu.
But I usually get like a venti with like double shot of espresso and they're like, whoa, tired? And I'm like,
venti.
And I always go, that's like the biggest one. And I always go, they're like, oh, real tired, rough morning. I'm like, give me the coffee and then I'll answer your fucking questions. Sorry. Unless I've had the coffee first. And I have already had 2 cups by then. FYI. So if you see me in Starbucks, maybe
I'm trying to imagine you more caffeinated.
Oh, it's impossible. I just pumping through my veins all day long. Ugh, Nerf or nothing. I feel like that needed a plug. I don't know.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
Get in the game.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's not Nerf.
It's not even a little bit Nerf. It's anyways. Okay. We can't all be jocks. Whatever.
Next week on Accept the Mystery, we are watching a film that I actually have not seen in years, Miller's Crossing. I wonder how it's going to hold up. Many people consider it one of their favorite Coen Brothers movies. Jackie, I think it might be more your kind of Coen Brothers movie than my kind of Coen Brothers movie.
We
so this is going to be very interesting. We will see.
I hope we watch it together, too.
Yeah, we got to watch it together.
Get more Cheetos.
Because it's always more fun when you watch it.
If you get more Cheetos, I'll come over. Otherwise, I will not.
We still have Doritos.
I could still bring a bag of Cheetos and the bell and then leave. And then you guys can watch it.
I agree. Out of the Fritos, Doritos, Lay's Cheetos pack I bought, I agree that Cheetos are the best. And those always go fastest.
Yeah, they do. Which is the worst part about them. They go too
fast. Let's just buy Cheetos from now on.
I have Lay's that just stick around for
Lay's
years.
Lay's for days. Lay's for days. Lay's for days.
That's what she said.
Whatever.
Yeah, she had to be a weird thing that she said while in a food
I get Lay's for days.
Yeah. Oh, I just
get
realized
it.
Why.
That's what you get said. It? I got it.
I didn't get it. I went right to the food. I was like, oh yeah, chips. So many. Yeah.
Anyhow, it's time for us to stop talking now. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time. Peace and love.
Lots of peace and love. The most peace.